about the law.
Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual. Right. So.
Thanks for joining us this week's episode, Sweet 16, buddy.
It is.
Episode
Sweet 16. Time flies.
Murphy's Law Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ian Murphy. My good buddy Chris Kuhn joining me as always. So our Sweet 16 episode, a lot has happened since we did our last episode 15. We had Fuel Fest.
Huge turnout.
A couple of other things have transpired. One of the things that we're going to talk about is gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly was arrested last week. So we'll talk about that. Also, the Liquor Commission, which we mentioned in our last episode, they're back at it. So something has transpired between the last episode and this episode. We'll talk about what has happened with the Liquor Commission. And one of the other cases that we're kind of closely watching, the Kalamazoo Public School case, was a mask mandate case. Some crazy stuff has been happening in that case. So that was actually went into
Judge Limpdick was back again.
Oh, Limpdick.
Yeah. Back at it.
That's awesome. I didn't really think of that one before. And it's probably good that we didn't either, because David probably would be texting us going, don't do that. I got to be in court. Don't do that. They decided that case, and we'll talk about that one a little bit. So, but right off the top, the biggest thing, we've been advocates for Ryan Kelly for a while now, especially since they've cut the field in half from 10 to 5 or whatever it is now. So last week, was it Wednesday?
Thursday.
Wednesday,
the
Thursday.
The night of the shit show on
television. Oh, that's right. Television. Yeah, yeah.
Conveniently.
Of. Yeah, so Ryan Kelly, Republican governor for candidate, was arrested at home. FBI raided his home in front of his children.
I'm surprised the Mean Barbecue Man didn't get a visit.
I've been communicating with him a little bit, and we kind of joke about that. It's been interesting to see, if anybody knows Ryan or has followed his campaign, he was at the Capitol January 6th in 2021. There is video has been released of some things that he has said, and people have taken that as to mean that he is trying to encourage people to go in and storm the Capitol, this, that, and the other.
Well, these are the same people that continue to call it an insurrection. I mean, that's a... It was 9 minutes into that shit show on Thursday night where it clearly turned into a witch hunt, and that's all they're trying to do.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far off into that bullshit, because there's so many more important things that are going on. And it's not that that's not important, because there's definitely some shit that went down that day.
There is, and we don't condone it in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think Ryan was involved in any of that, and I think they're trying to pin him, I think they're trying to find evidence of him being inside, because then they can legitimately charge him with a real crime versus these others that they arrested him for were misdemeanors.
Well, and the funny thing is, they were doing this in attempts to derail and discredit him from the gubernatorial race.
Yeah.
And actually, the opposite's happened. His ratings have skyrocketed.
It's incredible what actually has happened. And like I said, I've communicated a little bit with Ryan via text message a little bit. He was due to have an event in Traverse City this week. That has been canceled. His schedule has changed a lot.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah. So what we're working on is getting comment from Ryan. He has done a lot of shows. He hasn't been on Tucker quite yet. He might be by the time this airs, he'll probably have done an interview.
Been on Glenn Beck.
Newsmax, I think he's on today. So he's getting his story out there and exactly what's going on. I haven't read the formal charges yet. I've seen them. I haven't read the entirety of the FBI charges. Most of them look like bullshit to me.
It was just part of the show.
It does start to get a little bit questionable when the FBI is involved with the Whitmer kidnapping plot stuff happened, I guess it's kind of concluded.
And you can't tell me it wasn't done for show that the same day that they started the hearings.
Yeah, it.
It's sad.
I don't know. It brings all of this stuff into question. Is it coincidence? Is it not coincidence? It's kind of one of those things that just starts to look like, what the hell are these people doing?
Oh, they're. the progressive left is losing their everlasting fucking minds because people are just not listening to them anymore.
So what I want to do really quick is run a tape of an interview with Ryan right now. All right, joining me today is gubernatorial Republican candidate Ryan Kelly. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me today. I really appreciate it. I know you've got a lot going on, especially since last week and some of the happenings there. For those fans that follow our podcast, you know, we are big supporters of Ryan. He's been great supporters of the restaurant, the Iron Pig, and everything that we've been doing, fighting the mandates for the last couple of years. We do have a lot of things in common. unfortunately, one was taken a little bit to the next step. I was threatened with jail time back in January, February of 2021. That was via a judge out of Lansing. Your situation's a little bit different. You've got a federal agency that came in, and not only did they threaten you, but obviously they arrested you and came in and executed a search warrant on your home. Is that right?
That's correct, Ian. And, you know, this is not something that's necessarily surprising. We see that they're trying to silence people like you, people like me. This was an intimidation to myself, you know, to my family, and to my supporters. And you know what? We're not going to be intimidated by this, Ian, because we know that standing up and fighting for freedom is so important. And you understand. I mean, they're coming after you. They're coming after me. They had the plot to kidnap the governor. This is more DC trying to meddle in our Michigan elections.
Yeah, it's the really interesting thing to me is that, you know, we have never talked about it, but especially as the front runner, you had to have known that there was, you know, people were going to come after you. You know, opposition research is done in these things. Did you ever expect, I mean, you've had some prior interaction with the FBI before, is that right?
It was in July of 2020 when I met with them to have them hold Whitmer accountable for all the things that she had done, including the nursing home deaths that had happened, and try to get that investigated. So there was some communication there, but nothing.
That was initiated by you, though, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I approached them and the Department of Justice to speak with them about those issues. But, you know, obviously this is a totally different scenario all the way around. And, you know, yeah, they came to my house where my wife and my children were at. And now we have these, you know, four misdemeanor charges. You know, just to be very clear here, you know, I never entered the building on that day.
Yeah, you made charges. That clear from the get-go. Yeah, yeah.
And I did. You know, I've never...
Are they trying to find more evidence of you, you know, lying about that? Do you think that is what that... And again, I don't want to... I know this is kind of an ongoing thing, so I know you can't, you know, say certain things about it. But, you know, as soon as I heard about this, I'm like, what? 9:30 in the morning... You know, they're going into your home in front of your children and your wife. And, you know, I immediately am thinking, boy, they've got to be looking for something to try and pin you inside the building, because that's really the charge that they want, wouldn't you think, is that actually entering the building then elevates these charges from misdemeanor to something else. Is that my understanding anyways?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly where all of that leads to. And yeah, with ongoing litigation here, we can't discuss too many of those details or where this is going to go. But we see that it's a witch hunt that's continued over the last year and a half. Meanwhile, yeah, we have right here in Michigan, record high gas prices. We have all across the nation, you know, food shortages. The prices of food has skyrocketed. We have rolling blackouts coming to Michigan. We have baby formula shortages. All the things that actually matter to Americans like you and I. And yet the DOJ, the Democrats in Washington, D.C. think that January 6th is top of mind for people across America. And it's just not, Ian. It's just not the deciding factor of, you know, how somebody's going to vote. And most of the time, We see that they're voting for just a reasonable guy, somebody like myself, that's going to bring common sense solutions to our state.
Yeah. And to your point, here in our little community, you know, I live in Gaylord in northern Michigan, a small city, and we're day to day not necessarily concerned about those events. Not that it's not on a lot of people's minds, but for me as a small business owner, I've got three small businesses, and I got to tell you, all of them depend on gas prices, and my main business, food costs and labor costs. But you know, I was just having a conversation with our catering manager about Cornish hens for a Christmas party that we're trying to price out right now. So it's already tremendously expensive. How am I supposed to forecast what December is going to look like? You know, I mean, those are the things that we as small business owners are really concerned about. So you're spot on when you say that. Let me ask you this. Have you had a chance to take a breath since they were there? I mean, I know we've had a weekend and stuff, but you've been doing press nonstop. Again, thanks for taking the time to Zoom in with me this morning. You could have easily said, oh, next week sometime, but I appreciate you taking the time. Have you had a chance to take a breath for a minute?
There hasn't been much time, no. We were right back onto the campaign trail right from the very start there. It was a very busy weekend, traveling all over the state. Was up in Mayo, was up in, East Tiwas. We were in Oscoda. We were up on Mackinac Island, St. Ignace. We were all over the state, and now we're back at it again this week. So wasn't time for any breaths. You know, we've got so much support that's come from this. It's incredible. Just seeing the number of people that have reached out, and really, Ian, like the number of people that said, well, I was on the fence of who I'm going to vote for. Now I know exactly who I'm going to vote for. So it's been a huge blessing to see how many people are just so supportive. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, these polls are showing that I'm the front runner for the Michigan governor race. Recently, you know, after this arrest, there was a poll done out of Muskegon County, and it showed that this was a statewide. They blasted it out on the internet and got a really good sampling. I took 85%, almost 86% of the vote.
Love that.
And, you know, so, you know, we're full speed ahead, Ian. We're going to keep going, sharing the same message that we've been sharing this whole time, fighting the same fight that we've been fighting this whole time. You know, my 100-day plan is circulating all over the state. You know, people can visit my website if they want to, and they can see the 100-day plan that's on there. We do have a legal defense fund on there. If somebody has a couple of dollars, they're willing to have, you know, this fight too, Ian, they're not just coming for me. They're coming for you. They're coming for all of us. And anybody that really loves this country, anybody that really loves America, they're coming for us. And so, you know, it's a full speed ahead, planning to win the primary and then unseat Whitmer, making her a one-term governor and winning the general election here. And, you know, Governor Kelly come January this year, next year, I guess it'd be.
I'll tell you what. The one thing that I have heard most of up here when we have conversations about Ryan Kelly for governor is, boy, he sure is spending a lot of time in northern Michigan. And while a lot of us understand that a fair majority of the electorate is in the metropolitan areas, it does benefit candidates to come up here and spend some time up in these smaller communities, because it does make a difference. And these are really the things that matter to us on day-to-day basis, like you were talking about. What I will say is, from my point of view, and our podcast revolves around a lot of the hearings and stuff that happened with some of these mandates, the mask mandates in the schools and the health departments, our case against the liquor commission, the health department, all these things. One thing that I am concerned about, and my co-host Chris is always concerned about, is accountability moving forward. And we're hoping that the next governor is going to be a little bit more accountable and hold some of these state agencies that are kind of creating their own laws. Let's be honest. That's what we were in court for, was the health department was basically creating its own law. We're looking for a candidate that is going to hold those state agencies a little bit more accountable. And I don't know how, but the judiciary. We've found, even in administrative law, the judiciary is very skewed and beholden to whomever is appointing them. I don't know if that happens the same way under a Republican administration or not. I don't know. What I do know is that the system, as we have been working our way through in these COVID cases, is very, very skewed. And we are finding there are very few judges that want to take these issues on without an emotional sort of thing to it. So that's going to be my request and Chris's request for anybody that gets in that position moving forward, and the Attorney General. I've got a whole filing cabinet in my office of papers that have Dana Nessel's name on it. So it's not just that office we want to see flipped. We want to see Dana get out of there too. And I know you do too, but I'll wrap it up really quick, buddy. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Where is the next place that people can come meet Ryan Kelly for governor?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, like you said, Ian, spending a lot of time in Northern Michigan, we're activating voters, America First voters, American freedom loving voters all over the state of Michigan. Our supporters are becoming extremely active and engaged in this process, which is exciting. And so we're going to be continuing to travel all across the state. You can go on my website, ryandkelly.com, ryandkelly.com. We have an events page there. Encourage people to follow me on Facebook, follow me on TikTok, follow me on Telegram. I'm on Truth Social. They'll be able to get more updates, figure out where I'm going to be at. We're going to be all over the state in these next few months here. So come out and visit me in person. Tell everybody you know, vote Ryan Kelly on August 2nd, and then again on November 8th, so we can make Whitmer a one-term governor.
That's right. Exactly. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time. And listen, one last quick thing. I know that you are holding on to a flag that was given to you at Fuel Fest, which was our tornado relief fundraiser we had a few weeks ago. Michelle Hoitenga donated that for auction. It was purchased at auction and then donated to you. And I know we kind of have a plan that when you win the governorship that we're going to take and fly that flag over the state capitol. And I got to tell you, buddy, I'm patiently waiting for that day to happen, dude. Whatever we can do to help you out. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate your support. And by the way, we did raise over $5,000 at that tornado relief fund. So thank you for being a part of that. And we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thanks, Ian.
All right. That was gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly. Took the time out to take a couple of minutes to hang out with us. Ryan's been great. He's been in here several times. Of course, he was at Fuel Fest with us a few weeks ago, helping raise money for tornado relief. Really quick on that note, I do have on here, I do want to give a huge shout out to everybody that came and participated. A huge shout out to you.
Well, and the people
you bid on auction items. You were there working the entire night. I mean, thank you so much. It was for a great cause.
And the people, was it Duluth or Minneapolis?
Yeah, Minneapolis. So a bar.
Big Al.
Big Al.
Big Al.
Big Al's bar in over there in Minneapolis took up donation while Dave Landau was there for two nights. Yep. He had a two-night stand at their bar over there and took up a collection of over $1,600 that we added into the more than $5,000 that we
That was nice.
Yeah, so it was a great turnout, and Fuel Fest is going to be a thing that we're going to keep going year after year. So tickets are on sale for that for next year's event. It's going to be the same weekend, Memorial Day weekend. But that, you know, seeing everybody come together has been quite a highlight of the last few months. You know, we're
talking continuous.
All this political bullshit we always talk about on here and all this other stuff. And all that crap was put aside for quite a few days.
And it still is. I mean, we still have several fundraisers and concerts going on.
You know, I'm going to respectfully disagree with that. There is, yes, you are correct. There is still more fundraising and awesome things happening. But the problem now is bureaucracy is starting to get in the way of some of the relief efforts. I'm hearing a lot about mobile homes that can't be set because they're older than the county ordinance, yet most of the mobile homes in one of the heaviest devastated areas probably weren't any newer than the 2006 models that you can't have. I think it is in Otsego County anything older than a 2006, and there's some 1999 remodeled homes, manufactured renewed homes that can be set here. And as of right now, and I could be wrong, but county ordinance says right now they can't be set in Otsego County.
Well, unfortunately, we knew at some point in time the bullshit was going to rear its head again.
Yeah, I think they're efforting that right now. And, you know, my suggestion was, knowing what we know about the Emergency Management Act and some of these other things, the EMA can be used locally. And I suggested suspend that ordinance and get those people some homes.
Get their life back on track.
Yeah.
I mean, just figure the shit out afterwards and let everybody
I'm telling work on getting you, probably back. 9 out of 10 homes in there were probably not any newer than 2006.
No, I mean, there were some old ones. I mean, there was some,
so,
I bet it was 50s, 60s, somewhere in that area.
Enough about that. There are some great things that are going on, but of course, there are, as there are, and it's not just in our community, anywhere these things happen, there's issues that happen trying to take care of those that need help. Thankfully, we've got a lot of great organizations here, you know, the United Way, Otsego County, Otsego Community Foundation.
Yep, the Relief Fund.
Which is who we donated all the proceeds from Fuel Fest to. They've got a lot of great programs. I know the Red Cross has been helping out quite a bit as far as relief, but I know that it is the biggest concern for these people moving forward is where are they going to live.
Well,
some of them are in hotels right now, but this is our tourism season.
Well, especially,
you know,
considering that housing is already in a shortage in our community.
Yeah.
I mean, so
we could do a week podcast on that stuff.
Well, and these people, especially of Nottingham, I mean, they can't afford these $1,200, $1,300 a month rentals.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
not at all.
Not even close. So, I mean, we definitely need some help, and I know we're waiting for FEMA to weigh in.
Yeah.
When hoping the president declares emergency so we can get some of those funds, but
yeah,
that's still up in the air.
3 weeks out on that now?
Well, we know how quick our president responds to things.
Yeah, no shit.
Right?
So, anyway, thank you again for all the donations, tons of money that we were able to put towards that.
Are you looking forward to next year being bigger and better?
There is going to be, depending on when this episode airs, there's going to be a concert. Today is Monday when we're filming this, so Tuesday, tomorrow night, there's a great concert right out our back door under the pavilion. Almost all day, I think.
All day
saying.
From 12:30 kicks off to like 10:30 at night.
A lot of great local artists, a lot of great deals happening downtown. I know a lot of businesses are donating or portions of proceeds.
Yeah, there'll be food and beverage and massages. I read and
all kinds of stuff.
Casey will be out there from White Birch, so a lot of good stuff.
So enough about that. Moving on from the tornado stuff. One of the things that we were talking about last episode was the Liquor Commission still trying to find us in violation of a January 6, 2021.
January 6th.
Coincidence. Violation for basically the same thing that we went to Zoom court with them for back in December of 2020.
Which to me, I still find is crazy because, you know, with all these school cases and the judges consistently using the word moot and dismissing the cases, but yet somehow your case is still relevant and they keep bringing it back up.
It's interesting that they've decided to postpone it. They didn't dismiss it. They've simply postponed it, and they get to do these things without any kind of reason. They don't have to say we're postponing because of a scheduling conflict, which is why we postponed it the first time. Well, actually, last year we postponed it in lieu of our court case.
I wonder how much money they have tied up in this thing by now.
A lot. I mean, they've got several hundred dollars just in mailings to us. I mean, these thick envelopes. It's insane.
It's insane. Still going.
To speak nothing of the attorneys. To speak nothing of when we went to Zoom court before, our chief of police and an officer had to be there.
Yep.
They had to pay for a health department, two health department officials to be there.
And we know they're not cheap.
And two attorney generals.
Yeah, here we are.
Attorney generals.
It was ruled upon then, and it's now completely irrelevant, but they're still not going to let it go.
So they are postponing the portion of that hearing that revolves around the January 6, 2021 violation from the Liquor Commission coming in here and seeing that we were open. We were not serving alcohol. We were simply open for business as regular. At that time, nobody was allowed to be open for anything other than curbside or takeout. Everybody knows by now we were open full bore at
that time. Brisket for the brisket.
So we're going to see it. They just can't let it go.
No.
They should have dismissed it, but yet they chose to postpone it. So it raises a lot of questions.
Yours is one of the few that they haven't just kicked to the curb.
You know, we were not the only ones that were found in violation of this, obviously. And my last count, I think, was 97 food service establishments. I think it's actually over 100 now, were found in violation of that because of being open,
right,
or various violations.
Various
related
levels of being
to
open.
Yeah. Overcapacity, not requiring masks, those kinds of
families
things.
And gatherings no more than six, and closing at 10 o'clock.
So that is an ongoing thing that we're just going to see what's going to happen with that. I don't know. We can speculate all day. We don't actually. The state still has an application for appeal of that health order at the Court of Appeals.
Yeah, there's still a scared shitless that Hunter's ruling will stand.
The state Supreme Court said we're not going to hear it. Court of Appeals, if anything, should hear it. But it's not an application on right. It's an application. Or I'm sorry. It's not an appeal on right. It's an appeal on application, which means they're not obligated to hear it. They can simply just shuffle it to the side. We've heard some rumors that they may actually consider it after the election, which has other connotations to it that we don't even have time to get into here. But it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
No. Really? This administration?
Really. You know, again, these are all administrative judges that are usually appointed by the governor. So if we get a different governor, what happens to those appointees? Usually they're in for a certain term, you know, whatever. Most times they're beholden to the person that appointed them, right, their boss.
Well, and that's been clear this whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been very few judges statewide that have actually stood up and dared to go against the grain, if you will.
I'm going to count.
I know one.
One. One judge. And there's been a few more that we, and actually there's a judge in Sheboygan that had a ruling for some hockey players or something a while back.
Yeah.
Then turned around in reverse or something like that. But it either way.
And there's been a handful of judges that have also just really taken the weak way out. And just,
we've always said nobody wants to be known as the COVID judge, right? That's probably, especially during the height of everything that was happening, no judge wanted to take on that peer pressure. And somehow Hunter did it in a way that didn't have to involve any of the science nonsense
nope.
that we've, you know, told everybody to stay out of. So one other thing kind of related to that is, so our attorney is involved in another case. So he has over a dozen mask mandate cases, whether it's health departments or schools, public schools, or a combination thereof, issuing mask mandates and various other things under
2253
and the school code. Which has some other mechanisms to it. Again, it's all executive branch power that they are using.
And a few episodes ago, we went through and connected the dots for you with some of these people, especially down in the Kalamazoo area.
Yeah.
In that case.
Yep. And that's what. So one of the things that we had watched was this crazy turn of events where this case was assigned to a judge.
He disappeared.
Well, first, I got to back up. First, this judge enters some kind of order saying all of these particular kinds of cases should be funneled to me.
Which we still can't figure out how that's allowed.
So I'm not smart enough to know exactly how that mechanism would work.
No, it doesn't make sense.
Judge Lipsy's on vacation, and this Comstock Kalamazoo Public Schools case comes down with a teacher filing a lawsuit, declaratory relief, among other things. Basically saying that the schools don't have the right. It's an unconstitutional non-delegation or delegation of powers from the executive, which is the school branch, that the legislative should have been given. exactly like what we were saying. Mm-hmm. This argument has been made in several other cases. To my knowledge, this is really maybe the second time, maybe really the first time that our attorney has been able to argue a non-delegation violation as he did against the health department in our case and won successfully.
Well,
since he has tried to in these health mask mandates with the schools and the health departments, they have either been dismissed or have completely just gone away due to the health department or the schools rescinding the mask mandate.
Which, you know, and these judges ruling them mute, really, it clears people for any liability or accountability down the road because there's doesn't have to be a decision made. And what's interesting about the one we're talking about specifically is how Lipschitz disappeared. Another judge was assigned the case and made a ruling, and then Dipschitz comes back, I'm sorry, Lipschitz, and overrides a ruling, which, I mean, shouldn't that have to go through an appellate court? One would think.
I don't know how this isn't being looked into, and maybe it is, and we just don't know about it, but I don't understand how one judge issues a temporary restraining order against involving, I think there's 14,000 students in that
public schools. Not small.
I think, maybe that could be very wrong, but I think that's what I heard mentioned in the hearing from last Thursday. So it does impact quite a few people. So one judge issues an order saying all these kinds of mask cases need to come to me. He's on vacation. A lawsuit comes through from a teacher, not a parent, which is the majority of these other cases are brought by parents on behalf of their students or vice versa, whatever. And this is from a teacher. Oh, no. A teacher?
A teacher turning what?
Michigan Education
Association
has a big say in Michigan politics.
God, let's not get started on teachers union.
Right.
That could be a whole...
But let's just say that there's plenty of pressure there. So while this judge is on vacation, this lawsuit goes to a different judge. This different judge has the wherewithal to say, whoa, hold on. This is crazy. We're
going to
put a pause on this and let parents and children decide for themselves. Judge Lipsy finds out about it on vacation, wherever he was. A long extended vacation is my understanding, which he's entitled assholes get to do as well. I'm going to say it. Sorry. But he's on vacation. He finds about this temporary restraining order that this other judge issued. Judge Lightfoot is her name, if my memory is correct.
Lightfoot?
It's with a V. Yeah. V-O-E-T. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. I think I got it wrong several times before. Sorry. So he issues this temporary restraining order. Judge Lipsy finds out about it. He comes back and rescinds her temporary restraining order, basically putting masks back on the kids. That mask mandate was then rescinded. What's the date today? 13th. So it was rescinded 13 days ago. The case was heard last Thursday. The judge dismissed this case on Thursday because he said the public schools had rescinded the mask mandate as of May 31st. So why are we here?
Exactly. I mean, but at least this guy...
Dismissed.
Yeah, dismissed. But at least he let them give their arguments.
At least he let them give arguments.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, it looked like he was picking his nose and he was shuffling through and he was probably playing Words with Friends or something back there. And he ruled from the bench. He didn't take... I can't say he didn't take anything into consideration, but if you were to watch the hearing, which is available on Judge Lipsy Meeting Room's YouTube page from last Thursday...
They haven't taken it down already?
Surprisingly, haven't taken it down.
Wow.
You got to shuffle through until almost the middle of the end of the thing because there's two cases in that one episode there.
42 minutes.
42 minutes in?
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of nonsense. And thankfully, their attorney, was allowed to give oral argument. Gave great oral argument, broke it down very succinctly, in a way that I always say we can describe to the guy on the other side of the bar. And then there was rebuttal by the state, which was complete nonsense, and just again dismissed everything that David Delaney, on behalf of his client, was bringing forth. And it was a very sound argument, but they just, again, stood on the fact that, well, the school has the right to do whatever they want, which is clear nonsense.
No, but at least, I mean, if I'm going to say that Judge Tipsy did anything right, it's on record now. He let them give their arguments and made it as record, versus Alpena, where the judge just said it's moot and kicked the case.
An hour and a half they sat waiting for this hearing, which I think was in person, actually. It's one of the few in-person hearings that they have had on these cases. In Alpena, the judge, Cook, I believe his name is, made both parties wait 90 minutes, then got on, started the hearing and basically dismissed the entire thing, saying, well, the mask mandate has been rescinded by the school over there in Alpena. I believe that is going to go on appeal. Don't quote me on it. I believe that's going to go on to an appeal, and I believe the one involving Judge Limp Bizkit as well.
This is going to end. It's too much.
So
again,
they're afraid. Afraid. If we had a timeline sitting here right now of our January 13th, 2022 decision ruling this unconstitutional, and then all of the subsequent mask mandates that were issued by health departments and public schools from January 13th all the way through to today, or last Thursday when this hearing happened, there is a very suspicious timeline
falling
that
one
you
by
will
one.
See that where they're just getting rid of these things because they do not want this to be adjudicated any further.
Well, and they don't want accountability. So, I mean, the court cases are getting kicked. The mask mandates were getting dropped. Because it's like they're trying to clean house.
Yeah.
I mean, again, they're losing their everlasting minds. And you know, I'm still curious to see where it goes with the ruling on appeal with Hunter, because that really did lay the groundwork for everything they did. That three paragraph MCL.
Yeah.
And if it stands, I mean, there needs to be accountability. And I know that's one of the big things that Ryan is pushing for if he were to get the governor's office.
Yeah.
And frankly, we need it. There has to be accountability to make sure this shit doesn't happen again. Because what happens the next time? Which is why these are so important that they do stay in the system and get an official ruling, is to make sure it doesn't happen again next time.
Let's take a really quick break. Probably see a commercial from, I don't know, maybe the Iron Pig?
Weird.
Weird.
Huh. Prime sponsor.
We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to this week's episode of Murphy's Law, Sweet 16 episode,
Sweet 16.
Number 16. We don't have a whole lot more on the rundown here to go over, but I did kind of cut you off short when we were talking about, consequences for actions and holding people accountable, mm-hmm.
Whomever, wherever, whatever branch.
Becoming our next governor. Right now, it's looking like it's going to be Ryan Kelly. There was a straw poll in, I think, Muskegon County. Over the weekend.
It's like 85%?
85%.
Wasn't close.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's gaining more and more traction every day. With the publicity that he is receiving from what happened last week.
86%
has really kind of turned him into a hero. Yeah, exactly.
11% was the second place.
It turned him into a hero and has kind of awakened people to some of the other nonsense that is still going. And it's kind of like if this is, I mean, this is kind of the shit that they do in second world countries, third world countries, where you have political adversaries arrested. And I mean, it's not that this hasn't happened before in our country
or other countries still.
But
and I'm glad you.
This just seems like really brazen to me.
I'm glad you chose to use the word awaken instead of that other woke word. But, I mean, it seems just very, again, they're flipping shit because people aren't listening to them anymore. People have had enough.
Yeah.
And we figured all along that people were going to eventually get to the point where just had enough.
Yep.
And, you know, Ryan Kelly truly represents that. I mean, just back to basics.
He's an average guy. I don't proclaim to know him well. He has been a great supporter.
He's an Iron Pig cover model.
I consider myself lucky to have the opportunity to first even meet, you know, the potential next governor. And again, it might not be him. A lot of things could transpire between now and then.
Well, you know,
but I'm going to tell you that from my interactions with him and the conversations that I've had with him, he's right now, he's the best bet that we've got to remove. You know, I always tell people, you know, the governor is one thing, but really for me, it's the attorney general. She's the one.
The chief law enforcement official.
That her signature is all over the paperwork in my office. You've seen the, I mean, I've got a filing cabinet, separate filing cabinet for all this crap now. And she's the one that has persisted now twice using unconstitutional laws. So that to me is the real big one. But obviously, you know, the executive of the state is the one that really sets the tone. Now, it would be interesting if, I don't even want to put it out there, but, you know, if What's-Her-Face was to stay in her current position and the attorney general was to change, that would be a very interesting dynamic to watch unfold. It'd probably be even a worse shit show than we have now.
Let's just bank and count on the fact that Ryan Kelly would
be. And I don't know how often that even, you know, I am now a political person, but I've never paid any attention to how often it happens where you have opposing party.
We've never had to because we've always, for the most part, we've had a government functioning behind the scenes as it should, not making noise. I mean, just when you think shit couldn't get any messed up, you wake up the next day and there's something.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I was just going to touch on real quick, Ryan Kelly, if it gives you any idea what kind of man he is, the one day, the first time he actually came in, he went into every business downtown that I could see, went in to go introduce himself. I don't ever remember Gretchen. I think when she came up for the tornado, she was here for like, what, a half hour, hour?
I don't even think it was that long.
Minimal amount of time.
Yep.
But I mean, and I see this, if you follow Ryan Kelly on Facebook, he, everywhere he goes, he wants to shake as many hands and meet as many people as he possibly can.
Yeah.
I mean, and
he's an average guy.
He's an average guy.
You know, he's a real estate agent. Yep,
not a politician.
Yeah. You know, some people might think that can work against you, but I would actually say, you know, different. But that
especially right now, I would say it's definitely
there. Yeah, you know, I'm a small government kind of person. You know, I am a small business owner, so I do view things differently. Government spending is crazy. Third party purchases, if people fundamentally understood what third party purchases are, government doesn't make money, they're spending your money. There have been, that was one of my hopes for when Trump became president. You know, this is a business owner, so maybe he can bring some fiscal responsibility to some of these things and stop spending money on, you know, this wasteful nonsense and actually take care of a lot of the things that we proclaim to be the best at in the world, which is total horseshit.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at energy first and foremost, I mean,
yeah,
shit, what are we up 112%? I think I saw this morning.
Yeah.
In the past month,
it's going to be a very, very interesting next few. So August 2nd, I think, is our primary here in Michigan. You know, Ryan right now is the runaway winner of that race. Now, again, there's still some time to that. I'll tell you, he's getting his name out there. He's getting his platform out there.
Well, and that arrest on last Thursday was just the biggest gaffe that the FBI and this board has done, and completely backfired. I mean, when you take a small guy like Ryan Kelly and immediately thrust him onto Glenn Beck and Tucker Carlson and all these nationwide top audience shows.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We
appreciate that.
I had texted him as soon as I had heard about it, and I didn't hear from him for quite some time. Of course, I wasn't expecting anything, even a response, but I just wanted him to know that you know, hey, we're there for you. We understand what it's like to be targeted, certainly not by the FBI.
I say, knock on that damn wood.
But you know, we've had, Ryan and I have had conversations about how they were going to arrest me. The judge in the case with the Department of Agriculture, when they were taking our food license mm-hmm. away, said, listen, you know, if he persists, we're going to put him in jail.
And that was a real threat.
That was 10:30, almost 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, okay, you know, this is a clear indication yep. that
time to pause things.
Yeah. And that judge had been, pretty good, throughout the entirety, but it was one of those things where it's like, well, okay, you know, this is, they didn't have to give me that sort of heads up, if you will, or that reminder, like, listen, we do have the reserve the right to put Mr. Murphy in
jail. Yeah, they could have made a production out of it.
So, you know, I wanted Ryan to know that you're doing something right if they're coming after you in this sort of way. So, and there could be more to it. You know, we don't know.
Oh, it's pretty clear. Like I said, 9 minutes into
that
hearing.
The FBI is not really anybody to trifle with, but
it's a witch hunt.
If we know anything, we've seen recently that, you know, they make some very, very questionable decisions and then double down on those questionable decisions.
Yeah, they do. And then, you know, when you start having parents considered terrorists,
yeah,
you know there's some funky shit going on.
Oh, that was, oh my Lord, that yeah. was insane. But you can see now why they actually were threatened by that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because they knew that the parents were going to be pissed off. Mask mandates and this and keeping my kids out of yep. school and all this other stuff. I don't have kids,
they started using the FBI to basically, for lack of a term, handle anybody that doesn't fall in line with their narrative. And it's gone that way from, you know, the federal level all the way down. We've yeah. seen it happen state, obviously, with Gretchen. And we've even seen that happen locally with Lisa Peacock in the health department.
Oh, Lisa.
Oh, Lisa. I wonder how she's enjoying retirement.
Oh, Lisa.
Special place.
We miss you.
For you.
Not. Anyway, all right, brother. Thanks for hanging out again.
Always.
Thanks, as usual, to you. Thanks to Ryan Kelly. Thanks to all of our watchers, all of our subscribers. We're all over the place. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Podchaser.
And who knows where it'll pop up
who
next.
Knows? I mean, it's a million. Yeah, our podcast comes out in a million different places. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you as always. Murphy's Law Podcast, Sweet 16 episode. Boom. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.